This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hey Pip, so how's directing going?
It's mad.
Hi everyone, you're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amaasri, and let's get into it.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. Today I am joined by Penelope Hare. Hey! How are you going?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, yeah, a bit tired, but you know, it's a sunny day today, so.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. For those of you guys who have listened to Thoughts and Theories for a while, you might recognize Pip. Pip, remind me, have we heard of you before?
We have indeed. I'm so glad to be back. Thanks for having me back on. I was on a couple of months ago talking about Pas de Trois, my yes. premiere play that was being put on at Lunchtime Theatre at Allen Hall.
How did that go, by the way?
It was amazing. We had a sold out show and yeah, everyone seemed to really enjoy it. So
that's so exciting, especially yeah. as like a premiere show for you as a scriptwriter as well.
Yes,
right? That must have felt like such a honor.
It was. I was so honored. Everything was came together so beautifully. The lighting, which was done by Asha, everybody listening, was just amazing.
Oh God, it's so exciting. Like, I'm so glad to be involved in like theater and things like that. Like, when things come together, even whether it's sold out or not, it doesn't matter. Like, when a team who works so well together creatively comes together to make like a work of art, it's so satisfying, you know?
Yeah, it really was.
Which, speaking of, I see you're working on another project.
Certainly am. Yes. So I'm the director for the Globe Theatre's upcoming season of Alice in Wonderland, a pantomime, which will be coming to the Globe Theatre in December, which is really exciting.
Exciting. Oh, my God. So wait. So for those of us, because this is definitely not me, 100%. I know what a pantomime is, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So for those who don't, what's a pantomime?
So for everyone who doesn't know, which is not Asha, a pantomime is a very British form of entertainment that's usually shown around Christmas time. It's usually billed as children's entertainment, but actually it's really great for all ages. There's always a little bit of adult humour as well and adult surprises, and then a lot for the children as well. It's really great, family-friendly, feel-good entertainment. It incorporates lots of sort of standard characters from fairy tales. So Alice in Wonderland is more of a new pantomime. Usually you see things like Cinderella and Aladdin, but you always have a goodie, a baddie, you always have funny sidekicks, and you always have a warm-hearted, lovable dame who is a male actor dressed up as a woman, and she's like the motherly kind of heart of the pantomime. So yeah, it's very, lots of singing, lots of dancing, lots of jokes, and that's the pantomime.
Right.
Crash course.
Right. Okay. So you're doing Alice in Wonderland. That's, was this something that you decided to take up, like on your own, or was it like a project that was put out there in the Globe and then you decided, oh, actually I wanted to try direct?
Great question. So I've been involved in pantomimes at the Globe for a couple of years now, since 2022, which was Robin Hood, which I was in, which is where I met my friend Tobias, who has been musical directing the pantomimes at the Globe since 2022 as well. And we decided that we, for 2025, the Globe was putting out a call for people who are interested in directing and helping out with the upcoming season. And we said, well, we would love to direct a pantomime. And they said, go for it. And we decided the script, we decided on Alice in Wonderland, and the rest has sort of been history, yeah.
Right. Oh my God, that's actually, I'm so excited, because like you're so multi-talented, okay? So
you're
an actress, you script write, and now you direct. Okay, come on now. And you're gorgeous, so what the freak? So, yeah, some people have it all, I guess.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm kidding. But no, this is really, really exciting. So you said you guys decided the script and everything, right? So yes. You and Tobias at the helm. And how is it different from, like, how is your script differ to, like, a usual play of Alice in Wonderland?
A really good question. So Ben Crocker is the writer for the script of Alice in Wonderland, a pantomime. He's quite a well-known pantomime writer in the UK. Mm-hmm. And we found his script online and we loved it because a lot of Alice in Wonderland adaptations, they take the Disney film from the 50s, which is beautiful, but that has become kind of the standard adaptation. And the characters we know, like the Mad Hatter, Cheshire Cat, Alice, all of those characters are the only ones we see. But from the Lewis Carroll books, there are two books from the 1800s, and they have a range of characters that the Disney film didn't include, but which Ben Crocker has included in his script. So we're seeing Wonderland from a slightly different perspective than we are used to. So it's still got all the family favorites.
Right, okay.
But there's some new little elements as well, which is really fun.
I'm excited. Okay, so this is I'll be one of the first people there, I'm sure. So who's working on this and stuff? Actually, no. Separate to the play, just Alice in Wonderland, right?
Yes.
What is your favorite character?
Oh, that's just like asking to pick one of my favorite children. But I do have to say my favorite character is the Mad March Hare because my last name is Hare.
Right.
And both my parents are born in March. So parents are the Mad March Hares. So shout out Mum and Dad.
They named you knowing that this moment would come. So what is it other than like the name about this character that calls out to you?
I just love the silliness. There's so much energy in all of the mad characters in Wonderland, but particularly in the books, the Mad March Hare is just so snarky. And I really like the kind of the wittiness and tough-mindedness of the children's books. Even though they're from the Victorian period, you'd expect kind of softer and more sentimental characters. But the Mad Hatter and the March Hare and the Dormouse are all really spiky and quite rude, and I find that quite funny.
Right, so. This might be cliche for me, but I quite like the Mad Hatter. He's just, I don't know, he's such a goofy guy.
He's so funny.
Kind of sad at times, but like.
And I love his hat.
Yes. It's just like, yeah, I'm crazy, but I gotta look good.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And the hat is part of it.
It's the aesthetic.
Yeah. I guess I'm like a bit biased though, because specifically I'm talking about from. Did you ever watch the live action?
I haven't seen them. Tobias and I have got them on our list. We really want to watch them. So we just, when we have some spare time, which is never, we need to sit down and watch them.
Yeah,
but they do look really good.
I really like, oh crap, what's his name?
Johnny Depp,
yeah. I really like his interpretation of it. But Alice in Wonderland is actually quite, I mean, yes, it's for children, but it's also got some dark themes, right? I suppose I wanted to ask what your interpretation of some of the messages, what you think some of the messages are for like the more adult part of the audience, you know?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So I guess the first thing I'd want to say is the kind of slightly darker elements of Alice in Wonderland that we see in the books and the films are not necessarily present in the pantomime. Pantomime is fairly light and bright, and we have moments where I think children might fear that the baddie will prevail, but spoilers, sorry everyone, good does always win in the end.
Yes, happy ending, guys.
Whereas the books and also the Burton films, as I've heard, are far more ambiguous. There's a lot of mentions of death in the books, which is interesting for children's books, and Alice is often very lonely and afraid and frustrated. Wonderland, in the novels at least, is not a very nice place to be most of the time. But the Disney film definitely made it feel more magical, and the Burton films make it more strange. The Wonderland we're creating for this pantomime, and we've been very clear about this throughout the entire process, is a place of magic, not of fear. So it's very colourful, it's bright, it's silly, and at worst, quite confusing for Alice, poor Alice, who's just fallen into this wonderful world. But it is a place. We need our audiences to know that it's a place worth saving and worth fighting for, because then they'll get behind the heroes as well.
That's so nice. Yeah, like I love how you like, you know, I guess it is a pantomime, but like to stick with like, you know, the positive side and bring in the magic a little bit more, because because you said, like, you know, the Disney adaptation is usually the ones that people go off of. But it's good that you're still going back to the source material, but also still maintaining, like, that magic of and brightness that is Wonderland, right?
Yeah.
I guess it's in the name, Alice in Wonderland. because I've seen, like, loads of different interpretations of it. You know, this is, like, kind of off topic. But you know, Squid Game?
Yes.
Yes. So have you seen it?
No.
I haven't either. I don't like it.
This is so random.
I have a point. So there's a similar Japanese one.
Alice in Borderland?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Girl, you have to watch
it. It's good?
Like, it's so good. I just finished watching season 3. Insane.
I didn't even know there was a season 3.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's like real short, though. Season 3 is 6 episodes, whereas the first 2 seasons are 8 episodes.
Where can I watch this?
Netflix.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, that's what I'm going to do when I get home
it's
today.
So good. So it's like, because you'll see the characters of Alice in Wonderland in the show, but it's so dark, and it really, like, it's definitely not a place worth saving, I would say. Like, it really takes in, like, the like, you know, the mentions of death and things like that, and really, like, hones into it. Yeah. And then, like you said, with the Burton one, it's just, like, strange.
Yeah, like it's, that's the great thing about Alice in Wonderland is it is endlessly adaptable.
Right?
Because the books are flexible. Just so, like, confusing and strange that you can just take it in any direction you want, which is really awesome.
Right. Do you have anyone, like, that you think would... Like, do you think anyone would enjoy the pantomime if they were, you know, like, older? Like, I would say, like, you know, our age, I'd say would enjoy a pantomime. I think we're still quite silly. But, like, if someone was, like, you know, in their 40s or something, is a pantomime still for them?
Absolutely. If you like to laugh and you like a good time, then I would recommend the pantomime for everyone. The jokes are funny on many levels. So, yes, there's the level that children are going to find funny, but also there is very much funny levels for all ages. So it's a great thing if you're, 40 and you've got some friends, girlfriends, you want to have a night out, definitely. And we do have a group discount as well for 5 or more. So if you've got a work do, a group of friends, I'd really encourage coming along. It's a great way to just put some magic in the holiday season. So
right.
Yeah,
okay, no, that's fun. Okay, so this is a really good way to, you know, force people to hang out with me, basically.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Come on, hang out with me, you get a discount.
Yeah, woo-hoo. Do you have 5 friends, Asha?
You're one of them.
Yay, I can be 4 of them as well.
Dang, I didn't expect to be attacked on my own show.
I'm so
today.
Sorry.
I was gonna ask, do you have 5 friends, but you probably do.
Oh, no.
Oh my god. So the Globe, where is it, like, in Dunedin?
Great question. It is on London Street, up the hill near Moana Pools, 104 London Street. And it used to be, it's Dunedin's Theatre and House. It used to be a home, and then it was done up into a theatre starting from 1961. And it is a beautiful little theatre, just hidden off the street slightly, but there's signage on the road, so you can't miss it. Nice. But yes, it seats about 70, so it's intimate. But we really like that about that part of the experience, that everyone has a good view. You can sit where you like, and everyone's going to be able to hear things without needing to use microphones. You can see and connect with the cast members.
It's interesting that the Globe is on London Street, because I used to live on London Street and I never knew that there was a theatre there.
Yes, well, I had lived in Dunedin for quite a few years and been involved in the theatre scene, and I had no idea it existed.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is very underground, you could say, right?
Yeah, well, it is. It depends on the community that you're in, but we're definitely trying to sort of break it out into the mainstream as well, so people know more about it, because there's so many good things going on there. Yeah, so.
Yeah, 100%. So working on this with Tobias, when did you start, like, casting?
We started casting in August. Auditions were in August. Quite early on. But we have been prepping Alice in Wonderland. Well, we started meetings about the pantomime itself, not knowing it was going to be Alice, in August of last year. Decided on Alice in about October. So it's been over a year to date. Wow. That we've been working on this. But auditions were in August. We had everything cast by the end of August. First rehearsals were early September.
Right. So things, are you guys starting to do, like, you know, you guys are close to doing, like, full dress rehearsals and tech runs and things?
Nearly there. Tech is a couple of weeks away. Our dress rehearsals will be at the very end of November, and we open, our preview is on the 2nd of December, open to the public on the 4th. So it's coming up quickly.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, speaking of that, you guys have been planning this for over a year, and now it's about to, you know, go live. How does that feel? Because you're a director, right? It's all on your show.
Oh, stop it. No, I'm feeling really good about it. We're still in the kind of fixing up stage, but we're well ahead of schedule. So I'm feeling really, really good about the work that the cast is putting in. They're amazing, all 30 of them. It's gigantic.
Wow. Oh my
cast.
God, yeah, that is a big cast.
Yes, it's really big. But yeah, I'm really, really happy. Set is coming in, painting is happening. The theatre looks beautiful with all the painting that's happened on the walls, which I won't spoil. You'll have to come and see it to find out what it is.
Really, but
yes, things are all coming together.
Okay, because I've been in the space once, and because I watched Lords and Ladies.
Oh yes,
I don't know how big. Yeah, it was great. I don't know how big the cast for that was.
19. Yes.
So this is like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, wow, another third again. Really.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a small stage and a small space and a large cast.
Yeah.
But it's about discipline. Mm-hmm. If you plan really tightly about where people need to be so there's no congestion in the wings, we have amazing stage managers, and everything will run smoothly. We're still at the stage where we're finessing that for now, but I have no doubt that everything is going to work beautifully. It just takes a little bit more thinking.
Yeah, such confidence. I love it.
Oh, thank you. Well,
I guess you have to be when you're in charge, right?
Definitely.
What sort of, you know, director do you think you are? Do you think you're like more on like the chill side? Are you like strict? Are you goofy? Like, what's your discipline?
Well, what I'm about to say and what my cast, who are probably listening to this, might say might be different things. I like my cast to be able to feel like they can give suggestions and have ideas and offer things themselves. So there's a level of collaboration, especially in the early stages. And for them, if they're bringing their characters to life and they have certain ideas about what that character feels like, I don't want to stop them from performing in that way as long as it's backed up by the text. And that's my job, just to make sure that they're consistently referring back to the text. But I do like a disciplined rehearsal. Mm-hmm. I like, especially with such a large cast, things have to sort of balance on a little bit of a razor edge sometimes. So I have to, like, the attention to detail can be, is what I'm really looking for, just really zeroing in on the small elements, and just making sure, because little things are things that slow the pace, and we just want the show to be running as smoothly as possible.
Yep.
Not that I've had problems with this cast, because they've all been really amazing.
That's
they all take directions so well. They're so enthusiastic and creative, so I've really enjoyed working with them. So it's made my job very easy.
Oh, that's good. Because I'd imagine, because with such a large group, it would be very easy for things to sort of go awry, right? So I'm glad things are going well.
Yeah.
And everyone's working together so cooperatively, is that?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're so lovely.
So I know you're not allowed to like spoil.
No.
But do please.
but do spoil.
But just spoil like a little bit. What was your favorite scene to like rehearse, I suppose? Like, what do you think will be like quite the kicker for when people start viewing?
There's so many funny bits, and there's so many kind of really artistically beautiful bits as well. I think they're all my favorites. And every time I watch something, I say to Tobias, oh my goodness, that bit's my favorite. And then I watch the next scene and go, oh, that bit's my favorite. But the one that's on the top of my head right now is the very start of Act Two.
Mm-hmm.
There is a song and dance number, which I think will knock audiences' socks off. It is really quite something. I don't want to say anything more than that.
All right, no. Okay, but I respect it.
Yeah.
I can't wait. No, I'm actually so excited. excited. How long is this in total? Is this like 2 hours?
We are aiming for about 2.25 hours with a 15-minute interval. So might be a little tiny bit longer than that, but that's about right.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah. Theater is unpredictable. Yeah. We get it.
No, it's not. We can make it run exactly the time.
I believe in you. You got this.
Thank you. Okay. With the costumes, have you gotten them yet?
Well, so our costume designer is Megan Stedman Ashford, and she is amazing, and she is working very hard to bring the rest of our costumes to life. We already have some in hand, and they look beautiful, because obviously Wonderland, it has a certain aesthetic, and colour is really important. So I've been working with Megan, giving her prompts about what I'd like, and then she's just taken them and run with them, and everything's starting to really come together. It looks amazing on stage. It's sparkly, it's colourful.
Everything I love, really.
Yeah, exactly. And then we also have makeup from Megan Bowker and face paint. So she's bringing amazing designs to life because we have so many animal characters.
Yes.
So that face paint's really important, although it looks just as gorgeous on the human ones too. But it just, again, helps to add that extra kind of height in it even more to bring that magic to life.
Right, okay. So it's like real, like, immersive, I would say.
Yeah, well, we hope so.
Okay, cool. So from the mood board that you've got so far with the costumes and things like that, if you could take home any costume of any character, which one would you like?
Oh, that's – actually, no. I was going to say that's tricky, but no, it's not. Our Dame.
You have an answer.
Yes, our Dame has the – just their Dames are really well known for having incredible dresses, really, really big dresses. And the dress for Nick Turner, our Dame, is just amazing. And I would definitely take it home and wear it every day.
Is it like big and poofy?
Big and poofy.
Oh, I love big and poofy.
Yes.
Like, it makes me feel like a princess.
Yes. And he looks like a princess.
He'll be the best princess out there.
He will.
Come on.
He's actually a queen, so he's going to be the best queen. Right. Get the title correct, please.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Nick. I'll do better next time.
Off with her head.
Speaking of that, is it the Queen of Hearts, the Red Queen?
Yeah, so it's not quite the Queen of Hearts, and I should definitely warn audiences, we don't exactly have a Queen of Hearts. We're leaning towards more the second book of the Wonderland series, which is Through the Looking Glass, which has a, like, opposites, queen opposites. So we have a right royal red queen, which is Nick, and then a wrong royal red queen, who is our baddie, played by April McMillan Perkins.
Ooh.
Yes. So we don't exactly have that Queen of Hearts that you might be familiar with from the Disney film, but I can assure you, double the queens means double the fun.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's a little bit different, and I think part of the challenge, certainly for writing an adaptation of Alice in Wonderland, as Ben Crocker has done, is to make a coherent storyline, because Alice in Wonderland as a novel is very picaresque, so there's lots of sort of incidents that aren't connected necessarily an overarching plot. But Ben has done that, and I don't want to spoil it, so I won't tell you anything more about that.
Okay.
But it does mean
it's so tight-lipped.
I know. but it does mean that it looks a little bit different in terms of the character configuration. But I think audiences will appreciate the surprise and the novelty of it.
All right. Yeah, no, I am very excited for that. but for now, we'll have a wee short break. So you recommended the song Dreamer by, I also don't know how to say it.
Laufey?
Yeah.
We don't know.
So why did you choose that song specifically?
Because I've just discovered this artist and I think she's great, but also because we want to encourage all the dreamers to come and see Alice in Wonderland. Tobias and I are big dreamers and we want to sort of bring a little bit of wonder to all of our audiences. So I thought that would be appropriate to have some dreams in our music break.
All right, awesome. With that in mind, I hope I will be right back. And welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that wee break. All right, so I have a question, Pip. So in this pantomime, you guys have worked a lot together with, well, you and Tobias. And so there's a lot of singing and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
The songs, I assume you either got license for it or you guys started working on them yourselves?
Yes, they're actually original songs. So dang. Alice in Wonderland has a fully original soundtrack of 13 songs with music by Tobias and lyrics by myself.
Wow.
We had been working on them since about December of last year all the way through to auditions in August. So yeah.
Dang, what the frick? So you're, so you're a lyricist as well. Okay, stop. Stop that right now, bro. Leave some talent for the rest of us, okay?
Oh, stop it.
So you help write 13 songs.
Yes.
Am I allowed to ask which one's your favorite? You don't have to say, like, too much about it.
I do love them all, but I think Tobias and I are in agreement in the fact that for sentimental reasons, our finale song is our favorite. We're going to be sitting watching the cast sing it at the end in floods of tears. We tried to, with that song, really encompass the spirit of Wonderland and try and leave people with a little bit of something to not just to laugh at, but to kind of fill their cup and fill their hearts before they leave. So that song is special in a different way, I guess, to us.
Right.
But yes.
Okay. I suppose the finale song will have to have like a big impact.
Hopefully.
So yeah, multi-purpose.
Yeah.
What was the hardest song for you to write? Like,
yeah. That's a good question. None of them have been easy.
I can imagine.
Yes. I think the one that had me scratching my head the most was the Act One finale. That's purely because an Act One finale can't have that same sort of sentimental value that a finale song for the end of the show needs to have. But it also has to have like a real punch so people come back after interval.
Right, yeah. No, they're just going to decide, oh, this snack is really good. I want to leave.
That's it, yeah.
No, that would be a tragedy. No. It's not going to happen.
It's so sad.
It's not going to happen. No. So it seems like you're juggling quite a lot and doing, you know, being in charge of this, being director and helping with the production and like, you know, the writing the songs and things like that. Have you at any point gotten like really overwhelmed?
I wouldn't say overwhelmed, but it is busy, really, really busy, and there is a lot to do. The reason mainly that I haven't got overwhelmed is because we've got such an amazing team behind us. That's Tobias and also our production manager, Brent Caldwell, who is just the best in the business. He has made sure that everything behind the scenes has been running so beautifully and smoothly so that Tobias and I can focus on the creative element. And then all of our designers have done such an amazing job of delivering their sets and props and everything. So yes, it's been very, very busy, but we've also had that year-long period to build up to it. So things have sort of come in waves. And yes, it's building now and it's busier than it's ever been, but it's still very manageable.
Right. Okay, no, that's good to hear. Because, we wouldn't want you to burn yourself out.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate the concern.
I appreciate you so much, Pip. Aww. You cannot leave me.
I won't. I'm here to stay.
Yeah. But if you were to give advice to anyone else who's probably like tackling maybe too much on their plate or thing, because I feel like I know a lot of people who are like really, you know, smart and talented and things like that, and they can do a lot of things, but they've just, I suppose, like bitten more than they could chew. Do you have anything to say that would help out?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm an expert on anything. Don't take advice from me. But my big one is to ask for help. Swallow your pride and ask for help from someone that you know you can trust. And the people who care about you do care about you for a reason, and they're there to help. So don't try and take it on all on your own if you have bitten off more than you can chew. There's still time to backtrack and ask people to support you, for sure.
100%. Yeah. That's great advice.
Thank you.
You know, you saying how don't take advice from you. Hey, I have a microphone and I don't deserve it. I say the most like random stuff. Like I have sometimes what keeps me up at night is thinking back to what I've said on the mic.
Oh, no.
And it's living forever on the internet. And I'm just like, why did I say that? If I ever get famous,
no.
They're going to bring that back.
No.
And then I'll be canceled.
Like, it's all.
Yeah. Because I forget, when I'm recording in a studio like this, there aren't actually people listening to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking to, like, myself or my friends.
No, but you're saying amazing things.
Thanks.
So
hopefully.
It's good.
I would say I agree with the advice that you gave, but also take a break.
Yeah, do.
I know sometimes it feels like you can't because you've got so much on and you probably have like 12 jillion things to do in a day. But sometimes it does pay to take the day off. And yes. Even if it feels like you have way too much to do the next day. Yeah, I suppose that is true. But better that than like wearing yourself thin slowly day by day.
Yeah.
That way you'll have nothing to like burn from your candle, you know?
Exactly. Take the break or the break will take you.
Have a Kit Kat. Or is it have a Snickers? I don't know.
I think it's a Kit Kat. Oh.
Girl. That sounds so threatening though. Have a break or the break will bring you.
The break will break you.
Oh, wow.
The break will take you.
Oh. Dang.
I mean, that too, I guess.
So threatening. Oh my gosh. Well, I suppose it is a risk to your life, to your health.
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
We don't want that. Not that I ever take my own advice, so.
Yeah, Pip. Yeah. You guys can't see it, but I'm glaring at Pip right now. Side eye. So what are your, after the pantomime is over and done with, do you have like any projects lined up in the future or are you taking a wee break?
I think I need to take a break. Yeah, definitely for the summer at least. I mean, once Alice is done, I can't really see past it, you know. It's just, it's been such a big thing over the past year. It's sort of odd to think that it is sort of nearly coming to an end, which is kind of sad. But yeah, after that, I'll probably just be pottering with some playwriting of my own and seeing if any other projects come up, but I will be happy to just take a little step back from it for a while as well.
Great. And you're still continuing studying, correct?
No, I graduate this December.
That's crazy. Yes. Well, early congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So if you don't have any projects lined up, what are your plans for next year? Because if you've got nothing planned out, that means you have quite a bit of, I suppose, resting time.
Yes. My only thing that's set in stone for next year is I'd like to get a job and earn some money.
So you're staying in Dunny?
I will, yeah. Okay. For the foreseeable future anyway. And we'll see how it goes. I'd love to be overseas at some point in the UK. I'll just see how everything falls into place.
Does your dream job have anything to do with theatre?
Yes, I would love to be a playwright.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
Like an actual full-time playwright, not like a living in someone else's basement kind of playwright.
That implies you live in someone's basement now.
Well, no, I'm joking.
I'm terrified.
No.
It's
very hard to succeed in the theatre industry as a full-time career. Mm-hmm. And because I'm aware of that, I'm okay if it doesn't work out in the way that I'd initially envisioned it. I can be flexible. So I just want to give it a go. And then if it doesn't work out, then the world is still very much open and I can figure out what I might do next.
Correct. The world is your oyster.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And yours too.
Thank you. And like we are young.
Yeah, we are.
So we have plenty of time to figure things out, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's time.
Other than the UK, is there anywhere else that you'd like to visit?
Everywhere. Travel everywhere. Yeah.
We should travel together.
We should. I really want to go to Japan.
I was just going to say.
Yes.
Japan is like one of my dream destinations.
Yeah.
I used to want to work there, but now I'm like,
that's right.
I don't even want to work. So
I don't want to work.
Let me just stay at home, eat.
That's fair enough.
Sleep.
Perfect. Dream life.
Exactly. You know, when I was younger, I used to want to be an author.
Yes.
I wanted to write books and things like that. But like, you know, now that I'm like in uni and I'm taking like playwriting papers and things like that, I'm like, you know, I'm not the same where I was, but like I'm still sort of in the same vein, you know?
Yeah, you should. Chase that dream.
Hell yeah.
I mean, that's the only way you're going to know whether it's going to work out or not for you. Mm-mm. So
it's sad though, because like you say, it's hard to survive in the theater industry, right? Because even though it is actually well needed, because it's an art form and it's very, I think, soulful.
Yes.
It's very underappreciated. Any form
and
of art.
Underpaid.
Yeah. Because it's just like, I mean, like, think about, like, COVID, for example. Mm. It's just like, oh, like, being an artist is, like, horrible. Like, you know, you don't, there's no future whatsoever. But, like, when the world shut down, what did you turn to?
Yeah.
Turn to movies media. And arts yeah, and stuff exactly. like that. Yeah. yeah. So, that's right. Yeah. Sorry. I just get so fired up because
no,
it's just
definitely.
Like, we all contribute, you know, to the world and making human life a richer and better place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's well said.
Thanks. I totally didn't think about this.
this one won't keep you up at night.
Yeah. I'll be like, yeah, you did good. Sorry, we've gotten a little bit off topic.
That's totally fine.
But back to Alice, I wanted to go back. So you haven't watched the films, but you have read the book.
Yes, I have. And I've seen the Disney 50s film, right. The animated one.
So for the 50s one, what was your favorite like part of it?
Oh, I love the bit where Alice is in the flower garden and all the flowers sing to her. They sing that beautiful song called The Golden Afternoon. Mm. And it's just, especially as a child watching it, the animation is just beautiful. It's that classic
yeah,
Disney style that
so
we're
simple,
never going to
so
get
sweet.
Back.
Yeah. Nostalgic.
Yes. And it's just so very English as well. I mm-hmm. have lived in England throughout my life and it just reminds me of being there. So, yeah.
I would say for me, it would be the first tea party, I think. It's been years since I've watched it. But
tea party.
Yeah, like it was, because I remember watching it for the first time and I was just like, yo, what the freak?
This is crazy.
Yeah, it actually was. Like for my little like 7-year-old mind, I was just like, what is this etiquette? Like this is crazy. Like what are you guys doing? This breaks all the rules. And like, of course, just like with Alice in general, right? Like the little biscuit things, like, oh, eat me.
Oh, yes, and drink me.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm just like, that doesn't seem smart. But also, that looks really good.
Yes. It would be fun to shrink and grow just to try it out.
If you were in the world of Alice in Wonderland, maybe as Alice, maybe as yourself, mm-hmm. What would be the first thing you'd want to do? Like a character you want to interact with, an activity you want to do?
Oh, there's so many. That is really tricky. I would probably want to go to that flower garden and see the flowers. And then also, yes, the mad tea party. I would love. Yes. And then the other thing is I'd love to play croquet with a flamingo like they do.
Yes. Oh,
that
my
would
God.
Be fun.
It's so kooky.
The
entire premise of Alice in Wonderland. And I respect it so much.
Yeah, it's just so silly.
Yeah. I feel like... I mean, of course, this is, like, a classic, right? Mm. But I feel like kids these days, oh, God, I feel old. But, like, they don't really have much magic anymore, I think, in their media, like, new magic.
I agree. It's more – I think children these days are more cynical. So it's harder to have that good old-fashioned kind of Mary Poppins, Peter Pan, Alice in Wonderland magic that we – grew up with and we appreciated because the pace of life is so fast and they're used to that kind of constant stimulation. And this is not to kind of rag on children.
Oh, I am. No, I'm kidding.
but I do think the type of media that we have is quite different.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
It is. It is. Because I think they've sort of been... they caught the nonchalant plague. You know? Because like they grew up in the age of media where... they don't really have the opportunity to be kids without being judged because to express yourself is to be cringe and to stand out is to be targeted. So it's a shame because when we were kids, we got to do like all sorts of things.
And we were very silly.
Very, very silly.
But there was no sort of self-regulation. I mean, everyone has that, but we didn't have that kind of social media, constant kind of surveillance and judging ourselves based on others.
Yeah.
So we could go into those fantasy worlds. Although I do think K-pop Demon Hunters has been a really great thing for children.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Because they're great role models, the characters, and it is just like bringing a little bit of that magic back into their media.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
And It's an international movie as well, right? It's from Korea.
Yeah.
So it's good to get like exposure from different parts of the world, different animation styles and things like that, right? So like even though we talk about our childhood and things like that, it's mostly tinged with nostalgia because, of course, like no era is perfect.
No.
Yeah.
And we are, yes, exactly, nostalgic for being children and running around in the grass, I don't know.
100%, yeah.
Whatever children do.
You know, if I was an Alice in Wonderland, I really want to talk to, oh, what was his name? The guy who smokes, the worm.
Caterpillar?
The worm. Yeah, I knew that.
Yes. He's funny.
I feel like he's just so, like, slow and so chill.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would be so annoying but so funny to talk to him.
Yes, he would be. He would be insightful. Yeah. In a weird kind of way. I think you'd get advice that you didn't know you needed.
I mostly want to try to do the rings that he did. Yes. As a kid, I'm like, whoa, how is he doing
that? How does he do that?
That's magic.
Magic, no. Just nicotine.
Oh, my God, nicotine. Yeah. Do you smoke or vape?
No.
Me neither. So specifically when I'm in a cartoon, I want to do it. But, yeah. Like, in real life, nah.
That's the whole thing with Wonderland, isn't it? It's about going into a fantasy world and doing things we don't do.
Exactly.
Usually.
Exactly. Speaking of, like Wonderland, not specifically in Alice, but like in like a world of fiction, right? If you could have any sort of, I suppose, like magical ability, right, that you could bring back to the real world, what would you want?
This is actually very easy for me to answer.
You've thought about this?
Yes, I have. Flying. I think everyone should be able to fly. I love Peter Pan. It's my favorite book ever. And I just love when they fly off to Neverland, they fly over the London cityscape, and it's just left such a strong impression on me as a child.
Right.
And I think everyone should be able to fly. I think it would make the world a better place.
I agree. It would just be so whimsical.
Yes.
That'd be so sweet.
It'd be beautiful.
I would, okay, like if we think like logistically or like logically, I actually don't know words, but like if flying was a real thing, right? Do you think, how would it be taxing to your body, I wonder?
Because
if you were walking, obviously your calves and stuff would hurt.
Yeah.
And things like that. So if you were to fly, how would that tax you?
Yeah. I've also thought about this. Yeah. And I feel it's different for different kind of scenarios. Because if you can fly and it's kind of an anti-gravity thing, then really the only thing that you'd have to be careful of is that you don't fly too much, because then your muscles would atrophy because you're not using them, because you're just, like, floating.
Yeah.
But if you're a fairy and you have fairy wings, then obviously it's your wings that are going to get tired,
your
and,
back.
Like, your breastbone. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in Peter Pan, it's the fairy dust, so I guess there's not really effort necessarily that needs to go
in. I suppose it's sort of like, like hopping into a car, right?
Yeah.
So it carries you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's, you have to calculate the distance. It's like fuel in a car.
Yeah.
So you have to calculate how much fairy dust you have.
Imagine running out of fairy dust mid-flight and just...
Exactly. That's what happened with Tinkerbell and
Tinkerbell
films.
Yeah, true.
Have you seen the Tinkerbell films?
I've seen a few of them, yeah.
Yeah, like, I love it because it explores the world that it gives you, you know? So, like, the lore behind the fairy dust and the different types of, like, jobs that you can get. And I'm just like, you see, this is great. I love it. I hate how they discontinued it. It was so good.
It's so sad. What kind of fairy would you be, Asha?
Oh, I have no idea. You know, I always, when I was a kid, I really liked the aesthetic of being, like, a water fairy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, playing with droplets just looked really cool.
Yeah, so, like, Silver Mist.
Yeah. What about you?
I liked the light fairies, like Iridesa.
Yes.
Yeah, I think, although they're all pretty cool, I do love Rosetta as well, the flower fairy.
Yeah.
So
I don't really do much.
I was just going to try and do that, but no, that was good. I was going to try and do it, and it was going to be way worse than that.
What was it? She doesn't... She's a garden fairy, and she doesn't like dirt. Right?
She doesn't like mud, yeah.
Yeah.
Ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, ironic, isn't it? She's got, what, is it misophobia? Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Like the phobia of like dirt or germs or something?
Oh,
like
wow, I didn't know that was a thing.
I don't know, because it's recurring in all the movies that she doesn't like to get her hands dirty, but she does it anyway.
But she's a garden fairy.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
It is kind of sad, because you're assigned this at birth and you can't change it, right?
Yeah.
So
damn.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
That's deep.
Yeah, unexpectedly deep going into kids shows.
Whoa.
No, but that's where you actually find like the best like life answers. Actually,
absolutely. Yeah, I am 100% with you on that. Yes,
because there's like the innocence that is paired up with the harsh realities of the world, kind of.
Trying to package them in a way that is understandable to children, but still profound.
Yeah, exactly.
And good kids' movies, that really, like, it can strike that balance really beautifully, and bad kids' movies are just really bad.
Yeah. I think, like for Alice and stuff like that, I could say one of the lessons you could learn from this is don't eat things just because it says drink me or eat me.
Such a good lesson. That's a very practical one.
Because it's like for kids, it's like they're so innocent and they would do it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I would have done it.
To be honest, I feel like Alice kind of encourages you to just eat things, you know?
Actually.
Like, woo, there's something cool might happen.
And then she doesn't learn her lesson.
She's so silly.
Stop it. But, you know, from the novel, right, the dialogue sometimes is so, I wouldn't say whimsical, but like, when she's in the real world and the adults are talking about like ridiculous things, right? Like, and it makes absolutely no sense to us. I think the author did a really good job on explaining how the adult world looks like to a 12-year-old.
Yes.
You know, because to them it's just like, okay.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean? Yes. You guys are talking about stupid things and it's like not important at all.
Sometimes, yes, in the novels in particular, the world of the adults is just as mad as the world of Wonderland. It's just that Alice is used to the adult rules, so she finds Wonderland more confusing. But there's times where the line is blurred. And that's interesting for us to look onto that as well, to think about the conventions that we have and where have they come from and do they make sense really to children who haven't been kind of inducted into the social conventions that we hold.
Yeah. I think as a whole, like as a world, we're actually quite mean to kids because you know how like they cry a lot as if it's the worst thing that's ever happened to them because it is. you know like we forget that at that age everything is so big, it's so scary, and it's not a big deal for us because we've been tempered, but for them this is like me like spilling my milk. That is the worst thing that's ever happened to me, and I'm heartbroken because I've never felt pain this way before.
So
I don't know.
No, I agree with you. I think that children are interesting, and it would be so interesting to spend a day as a child having an adult perspective and just to feel...
Yeah.
It's because we forget what it was like.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wish I could, like, go back in time and just observe me, but also, like, have, a little subtitle of what goes on in my head.
Yeah, just to understand.
It's sad that we forget that magical part of ourselves.
Yes.
It's mad, but... magical.
We don't have to forget it. Come to the pantomime and you'll regain it.
Exactly. Remind me, when's the pantomime?
It is the 4th to the 14th of December. We are running evening shows on every day except for Sundays. So Sundays are a 2 p.m. matinee and then we have 7 p.m. Weekday shows and Saturdays as well. On Tuesday, the 9th of December, we are running a relaxed and low sensory performance for anyone who might feel like they want to experience the show at a lower volume and light level and want to be able to get up and move around during the performance. That is for you, and we'll be putting tickets on sale for that very shortly. But for all the other shows, those tickets are on sale, so get in quickly because they are selling fast.
Yeah, oh my God, yeah, I need to book mine as well.
Yes, you
and
do.
Remind me where it was, London Street, what address?
Yes, 104 London Street, the Globe Theatre.
Okay, I hope to see you guys there.
Yes.
So, Pip, any shout-outs that you'd like to have the people listen to?
So the first one is to just the Globe Theatre in general. Thank you so much for having us, Tobias and I, helm this crazy creative ship. Brent Caldwell, you are absolutely amazing, the best production manager that we could ever hope for. Big shout out to the William Sheriff Charitable Trust. With their generous donation to the Globe, we've been able to buy a new cyclorama and projector to bring the backdrops of Wonderland to life. Big shout out to all the designers and the cast of Alice in Wonderland, crew, everyone. You are bringing Wonderland to full colour, which is so exciting. And then also finally, shout out to my family because they are putting up with me being stressed because of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, no,
so
word.
Thanks, guys.
The family is there. You're back. Yeah. And I'm going to give you a shout out, actually. Aww. Thank you so much for coming on to the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I always love hearing your voice and like hearing what you have to say, especially what projects you're involved in. More people need to hear about it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. You guys remember to pay attention to what's going on in the world right now. It's a scary place. We need to be politically aware of our climate at the moment. So please boycott Starbucks, McDonald's, and Coca-Cola. Of course, free Palestine and also free Sudan. The genocide that is going on over there is horrible, and we need to boycott the UAE. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, This has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.